My guest at this time is Morton Blackwell. He's president of the Leadership Institute. He is also a longtime Republican National Committeeman and a member of the RNC's Standing Committee on Rules. And those rules are believed to be increasingly important, especially if no candidate reaches the magic number of a pledged delegate count of 1,237. So Morton joins us now to explain what the rules are and what rule changes possibly could be in store. And, sir, it's good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. I'm happy to be with you.
Well, you have written extensively on one particular rule that bothers you. It's known as Rule 40B, which was instituted at the 2012 convention by the Romney campaign, that says in order to just be nominated, you have to have won a majority of delegates in at least 8 states. You tried to change that rule earlier this year before a single vote was cast in this primary, and it looked at the time like the RNC was agreeing with you, but suddenly changed their minds. Why do you think they did that, and what do you think the impact of that is going to be on this race right now?
It's not completely defined, but there's a general understanding that there is a Republican establishment out there, and it was the establishment that backed the Romney rules change at the 2012 convention in Tampa. I actually tried to correct the 40B problem and other things with an omnibus bill I presented at the Standing Committee on Rules to repeal many things that had been done at the Convention Rules Committee. There was a lot of support on that because there was a lot of outrage over those rules, and of the 56 members, one per state and territory on the Convention Rules Committee, I got 25 states back in April of 2013 to support my repeal proposal, but the other states and D.C. and the territories voted the other way. So in January of this year, as you pointed out, before any primaries or caucuses had been held, I proposed a rifle shot amendment to establish the principle that duly elected delegates who had been credentialed at the convention and were voting in accord with their state party rules and state law would have their votes counted even if they didn't vote for somebody who had made this artificial 8-state threshold. And as you pointed out, the Standing Committee on Rules first passed it with the support of the establishment. Then they moved to reconsider, and they have a majority. The chairman of the National Committee is always in control, in my long experience, of a majority of the members of the RNC and of the Standing Committee on Rules. They, after they voted to reconsider, they then amended out of what had been passed this end of the disenfranchisement of duly elected delegates. But we had our discussions at a very dispassionate level where what was discussed was what was most fair and what is in the long-term best interest of the party. I think what happened was the establishment that put in these rules, expecting that it would help establishment candidates for president, still believed in January that these rules would facilitate the nomination of an establishment person. But it didn't work out that way. Their rules backfired on them, and currently, with more than half of the caucuses and primaries over, it appears that the only two candidates for whom votes may count at the convention coming up in Cleveland would be Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. And that is why the establishment is talking now about changing these rules. And the changing of the rules would be designed to permit some establishment person from to be a nominee in a multi-ballot convention. But it would amount now to changing the rules in the middle of the game, which everybody understands is unfair. So the word is spreading, through the establishment types that, well, we don't have any rules now, and the convention always writes its own rules. That is, nobody's ever made that point in previous discussions about the rules, because essentially it's not true. The rules that were adopted in 2012 are the temporary rules of the convention, and they will become the permanent rules of the convention unless they are amended. And I heard Reince Priebus say on Fox News Sunday a few days ago that it may very well be that the Cruz and the Trump people will have a majority on the Convention Rules Committee in Cleveland, and they could undo whatever changes might be made. In my view, there are now two ways, and only two ways, that the rules relating to the nomination process at the convention can be changed. One way would be by a general consensus of all the major players who are Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, and National Party Chairman Reince Priebus. The only other way the rules can be changed, if there is not a consensus among these major players, is after a bitter, ferocious rules battle in Cleveland, which I believe could split the Republican Party.
Morton, let's talk about a couple of other issues that have come up about the rules, mainly from the Trump campaign. Donald Trump has said that because he's got a big lead over Ted Cruz and everybody else in the delegate count, that even if he doesn't get to 1,237 prior to Cleveland, say he's at 1,100 or somewhere relatively close, but not quite there, that he should at that point just be given the nomination because it's obvious that he's done much better than everybody else. And if that doesn't happen, he suggested that there might even be riots. What did you make of his effort to push the idea that a large plurality ought to be good enough?
The Republican Party rules at the national level from the very start of the Republican Party in the middle of the 19th century requires that you get a majority of the delegates to the convention in order to be nominated. I think that idea is a non-starter. It would amount to changing the rules and in the middle of the game, and I don't think that there will be broad support from that for that. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, Abraham Lincoln was not the leading candidate at the 1860 Republican National Convention. James Garfield was nominated, it took 33 ballots at the Republican National Convention in order for somebody to get the nomination. I just don't think that can happen. I can see where it's an interesting argument to make. Conceivably, it could persuade people to support Trump who otherwise wouldn't. But as to changing that rule, I do not think that it is at all likely.
There's also the allegation, as you've probably heard from Roger Stone, certainly, and also from Mr. Trump himself to some extent, that Ted Cruz is somehow stealing delegates by going into these district and county and state conventions and getting his slate of delegates elected to the convention, who would be still bound to Donald Trump on however many ballots the state party requires. But ultimately, if there's no majority winner, once they're done being bound to Trump, they would vote for Cruz. Trump says that is stealing, and Cruz would obviously say that that's just playing another important part of the game beyond just the actual vote, the day the vote happens. What's your reaction to that flap?
In most states that have presidential primaries, the delegates representing that state are elected in an entirely separate process. That's the way it is in Virginia. In Virginia, we have 49 delegate votes to the Republican National Convention, and 33 of them will be elected, three per congressional district, in district conventions which have not yet been held. 13 of those will be delegates at large elected at the state convention, and then there are three automatic delegates, the state party chairman, the national committee man, and the national committee woman. So aside from those three who are automatic delegates, nobody knows at this point who is going to be those delegates. There'll be some supporting one candidate and some supporting another candidate, but one candidate could elect a majority of supporters. But that's the way the rules are written. Everybody knows the rules. And if you want to have people who are personally committed to your candidate, then you have to campaign and at these congressional districts and at the state convention to elect the people you want as delegates. And there's nothing unfair about it, and it's been done that way for decades. It isn't unfair, so it's not a matter of stealing. An interesting side note on this is that this 8-state threshold is not requiring that a majority of the delegate votes be cast for a candidate. The requirement is that a candidate get the support of the majority of the people who are elected delegates. So in a state that has a winner-take-all primary, one candidate will get all the votes. But if there is a separate election of delegates, it's possible that a majority of the people who are elected delegates would sign on a piece of paper supporting some other candidate. So the delegate votes on the first ballot would all go to the first candidate, but that state that has a majority of delegates who personally support another candidate could be counted towards this 8-state threshold. That's something people generally don't understand. There's a distinction when delegates are bound by law between delegate votes and delegates. The delegate votes are bound by the results of the primary, if a state has a primary.
Morton, very quickly, you've already been very generous with your time. What do you expect to happen in Cleveland?
There are too many uncertainties. A lot of things that happen are as a result of so many factors that it's beyond prediction. I mean, if somebody had predicted a year ago today that before the end of 2015, there would be a conservative revolt in the U.S. House of Representatives and John Boehner would no longer be Speaker, people would have laughed at you. But circumstances developed that produced unpredictable results. So I would hesitate to predict. In my experience, people who make their lives with crystal balls sometimes have to eat ground glass.
Fair enough, and certainly the prognosticators have been wrong at just about every turn in this amazing cycle. Morton, thank you very much for your time and helping us clarify some of these important questions.
Happy to be with you, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Morton Blackwell is president of the Leadership Institute. He's also a longtime Republican National Committee man and a member of the RNC's Standing Committee on Rules. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.